Good morning, Tucson, and welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio with me, your host, Zach Yenser, for Tipping Point, daily in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. And it's good to be back with you. It's hard to gauge how many of us got the day off yesterday. I know we, on this show, we ran one of our favorite recent episodes called Tech and Tacos. I hope you enjoy the sound of high growth entrepreneurs chomping down on local tacos yesterday as we took a bit of a break for President's Day. Some got the day off, some didn't. But either way, happy to be back with you live and local today here on Tipping Point. Hope you enjoyed, if you had it, a 3-day weekend. I'm looking forward to the show that we have for you today. I'm a little nervous and I'm a little excited. Actually, I'm a little nervous and a lot excited. Premiering a new weekly segment on the show today called The Way I See It. I titled it, I'm just going to tease this for you, 1 trillion trees, 1 million trees. When the Arizona Daily Star published an article over the weekend about Mayor Regina Romero's plan to plant 1 million trees, I got to be honest, my first thought was actually President Trump's State of the Union address, where I was puzzled to hear him state his plan for the U.S. to launch a 1 trillion trees initiative. I'll share in the next segment, so hang in there, the surprising backstory to planting trees to attack climate change and why it's a big idea that isn't big enough on its own. And I'll share what I think is a surprising idea that is big enough to move the needle. Will we do it in Tucson? Whether you are pro-trees or anti-trees, let me put it a different way. Whether you read that article over the weekend in the Star and you had a positive opinion or negative opinion, I think the backstory to how we got here will surprise you and give you a different perspective. I think we'll talk a little bit about the palace intrigue here with the city and the county over how the county is paying for its road repairs. And I don't know if I agree with how some of our city officials phrased their memo to the county, but I have said that in light of the bond failing in 2018, can no longer say last year, right, John? It's 2020. In 2018, the bond failed to do major infrastructure and transportation improvements in the county. The county has gone to a pay-go model, and I thought it's kind of odd that a very close number to what was going to be raised through a bond is going to be paid over the next 10 years for just a piece of 2,000 miles of county roads. So only a quarter of county roads in unincorporated Pima County is going to get some pay-go love. So I get that. We'll talk about that. And then briefly as well, the U of A is going to break ground on the first tech-focused building at a Southside tech park. And we'll probably touch on what can we expect from the Democratic debate tomorrow. Now, if you're not a listener who is a Democrat, you're not going to watch, not going to listen, not going to care. I think the one piece that makes it worth talking about, this is the first debate Michael Bloomberg is going to be able to be on stage, and I think a lot of people across the spectrum are interested in that. Let me spend the next 4 or 5 minutes talking about this news that came out. I got it in my inbox yesterday, but the U of A will break ground on the first tech-focused building at a Southside Tech Park. By the way, you can give me a call anytime, 790-2040, to join the conversation. But the new four-story building that will be, there will be a public groundbreaking ceremony February 27th, next week, at the Bridges. This is where the new Geico building was put up a couple years ago. If you remember, the big Geico call center was put up in South, kind of South Park Avenue, South Kino area. We'll build a 120,000 square foot building that will house the offices, part of it, for Tech Launch Arizona, the university's technology commercialization arm, and the UA Center for Innovation Business Incubator and its client startups, as reported by the Arizona Daily Star. The space will feature corporate innovation centers, a student innovation zone, and convertible meeting event, classroom, and maker spaces. Now, here's my little editorial on why that is important. First of all, it is substantially closer to the University of Arizona. I think what's funny is that, I mean, it's not funny, but you know what I'm saying, is that for the last 2.5 decades, we've had in Tucson, in Pima County, one of North America's top tech parks, both in terms of size, employees employed, and I would say the innovation coming out of it has to catch up, right? I'm not blind to the fact that after 25 years, there's probably certain groundbreaking innovation I would have liked to see over that time. But nonetheless, it has a size and a scope that rivals any other tech park in the nation. Of course, it's the home to IBM, has been, still is. But it's been, 14 miles down towards Vail? Nothing against Vail. But when you look at what is required for innovation and entrepreneurship, when you look at what is needed to take great ideas out of the classroom, great ideas out of the research lab, get them to market, get them making money, right? Benefit to the founder, benefit to the inventor, benefit to the Tucson market. When you look at what all that takes, it takes connectivity. And it's this really weird science to the need for the downtown urban core, the university, and hubs around that area, like this place, which is going to be called the Refinery, like the Forge, which I got to tour yesterday in downtown Tucson. Those hubs for innovation, commercialization need to be close together. They need to be in the downtown. They need to be on the periphery. They need to be connected. If you look at cities around the country that have had a transformation of industry and economy, this is the formula or a piece of it that they have followed. And so I just wanted to highlight this story, right? It's a short story. It's more of a, hey, this is happening. It'll be open in 2021. But when you look at the tech park, when you look at the veterinary facility up in Oro Valley, the only one in the state, when you look at the bridges, when you look at the Forge downtown, what you're seeing in Tucson is the beginning of a connection of different resources, people, ideas, mentorship, venture capital funding that creates this soup that eventually combusts. The result is inevitable. When the formula and the pieces of it are together, like we're starting to see bubble up in Tucson, good things happen. And so that's my commentary, is I'm encouraged. Again, I got to tour the Forge yesterday. There will be an open house later this spring, but it's the renovation of the Roy Place building. Downtown, right next to, it's kind of that Pennington and Stone corridor. Amazing what's happening there. Co-working spaces for some of these startups, resources, mentorship. You gotta make it dense for people and ideas to, bounce off of each other. It is that simple, but it's also complex, but it's that simple. It's happening in Tucson. I'm excited to see our university begin to invest in this ecosystem. And so it came out in the news yesterday, President's Day. It's worth talking about. And again, I had a personal experience yesterday that your mind will be blown. What's happening in Tucson is really worth talking about and really worth investing in. All right, I went 24 seconds over because I want to leave as much time as possible for our brand new segment on the show, The Way I See. When we come back from a short break, we'll talk about 1 trillion trees, 1 million trees, and the backstory, the surprising backstory to this this whole planting trees to battle climate change, surprising backstory. I didn't know, and you probably didn't know, but we're going to know it together. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go anywhere. 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
As a new decade begins, we'll keep you informed. 10:30 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
100 years of election coverage on radio. They can't all be winners.
In your heart, you know he's right. Vote for Barry Goldwater.
McGovern for the people.
Michael Dukakis for president.
Bob Dole leads the fight against the Clinton agenda.
Let's fight for America. I'm John McCain.
I'm with Hillary.
I'm with Hillary.
I'm with Hillary. Join us.
1030 The Voice. Your vote, your voice. Election 2020.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. You're listening on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm looking forward to this brand new segment on the show today, launching today. Plan to do a weekly segment called The Way I See It. And today's is titled 1 Trillion Trees, 1 Million Trees. The surprising backstory to planting trees to attack climate change, and why it's a big idea that isn't big enough on its own, and the idea that is big enough to move the needle. When the Arizona Daily Star published an article over the weekend about Mayor Regina Romero's plan to plant 1 million trees, I got to be honest, my first thought was actually President Trump's State of the Union address, where I was puzzled to hear him state his plan for the United States to launch a 1 trillion or join a 1 trillion trees initiative. More specifically, I was trying to calculate what percentage of 1 trillion is a million, and it's a really small number. Now, this plan to plant 1 trillion trees was first announced 2 weeks before that State of the Union address at Davos, Switzerland, where world leaders at the World Economic Forum gathered to shape global goals around the theme of sustainability. Here's how it was advertised. Stakeholders for a cohesive and sustainable world. The World Economic Forum annual meeting in Davos clusters is the foremost creative force for engaging the world's top leaders in collaborative activities to shape the global, regional, and industry agendas at the beginning of each year. It will bring together 3,000 participants from around the world and aim to give concrete meaning to stakeholder capitalism, assist governments and international institutions in tracking progress towards the Paris Agreement and the Sustainable Development Goals, and facilitate discussions on technology and trade governance. So that's how it was advertised. And it was here at Davos that President Trump announced that the United States was joining the global effort to plant 1 trillion trees, championing a time of, in his words, not of pessimism, but of optimism, embracing the possibilities of the future. Take a listen to his announcement at Davos in late January.
At the same time, I'm proud to report the United States is among the cleanest air and drinking water on Earth. And we're going to keep it that way. And we just came out with a report that at this moment, it's the cleanest it's been in the last 40 years. We're committed to conserving the majesty of God's creation and the natural beauty of our world. Today, I'm pleased to announce the United States will join 1 Trillion Trees Initiative being launched here at the World Economic Forum. 1 Trillion Trees. And in doing so, we will continue to show strong leadership in restoring, growing, and better managing our trees and our forests. This is not a time for pessimism. This is a time for optimism. Fear and doubt is not a good thought process, because this is a time for tremendous hope and joy and optimism and action. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse.
Of course, my reaction 2 weeks later at the State of the Union, this was given between January 21st and 24th, again in Davos. 2 weeks later, February 4th, at the State of the Union, I was perplexed, to say the least, when he repeated this commitment to 1 trillion trees. President Trump has a mixed track record of environmental conservationism, at least in the traditional sense, to probably put it in the best terms. Perhaps the most headline action was 5 months after his inauguration, wherein the United States officially pulled out of the Paris Agreement, even though, oddly enough, it takes 3.5 years for formal withdrawal. The U.S. wouldn't formally be able to withdraw from the Paris Agreement until 2020, after the presidential election of this year. But National Geographic tracks environmental action on the part of the Trump administration and reports that in 2019 alone, the administration's track record on environmental issues involved EPA criminal enforcements being at a 30-year low, increased logging of forests on public lands, green lighting the Keystone XL oil pipeline, and rolling back some offshore drilling regulations. His protections of millions of acres of public lands all across the U.S. in March of 2019 was a move that was panned positively across the political spectrum. As many of his supporters would say, Trump's environmental policy is actually more of I'll meet you halfway than I won't go anywhere at all. But back to Tucson's effort to plant 1 million trees real quick. In 2019, then mayoral candidate Regina Romero listed at the top of her working family's agenda acting boldly on climate change and promoting sustainability. And the second highest strategy to achieving it was planting 1 million trees across Tucson by 2030 to mitigate the effects of climate change by reducing utility bills, improving mobility, combating the urban heat island, and cooling our city, unquote. So when I saw a lot of my Facebook friends or my Facebook feed being filled with some consternation, some ridicule, some praise for the fact that this is one of Mayor Romero's first policy items, one has to be fair. This is action on the first platform plank and the second highest action to achieve it. The voters of Tucson knew what they were voting for, and they voted for it. And within a few months of the new mayoral administration, this campaign promise is on its way to being fulfilled. But back to President Trump. What got me even more curious is that so many I saw criticizing Mayor Romero for her 1 million trees initiative will be voting for President Trump in the fall, who just signed America on to planting 1 trillion trees. So what gives? Well, this goes beyond the president. Just last week, House Republicans unveiled legislation focused on carbon capture and sequestration. This reported by Fox News. House Republicans on Wednesday unveiled legislation last week focused on carbon capture and sequestration, which includes the goal of planting 1 trillion trees to counter a recently unveiled plan by the Democrats. The proposal set a goal of the U.S. planting 1 trillion new trees by 2050 to counter global warming by sucking carbon out of the air rather than regulating emissions, as well as incentivizing carbon capture and sequestration through a tax credit, investing in research and development of the technology to do so. In fact, it was a representative from Arkansas, Republican Representative Bruce Westerman, who introduced the Trillion Trees Act, calling trees the ultimate sequestration device. So how did the media and others respond to all of this? What I found sent me down a rabbit hole. A CNN opinion piece called it Trump's desperate embrace of 1 trillion trees. USA Today said Donald Trump now a tree hugger. Please don't be fooled by 1 trillion trees initiative. On a more serious note, an article by Wired Magazine got some press since the announcement titled wire titled "Trying to Plant a Trillion Trees Won't Solve Anything. We're not going to stop climate change with just seedlings and fancy agriculture. We also need to reduce emissions." Wired magazine is owned by Condé Nast, printer of Glamour, Bon Appetit, The New Yorker, Vanity Fair, Vogue, and of course, Wired. It's not necessarily the picture of center-right or conservative thought. And they're not buying the tree's strategy, writes Wired, criticizing scientific research about tree planting. The scientists who proposed it made careful maps of where trees grow today all over the planet. They had a census of how many were there, combined satellite data, all the above. But then the bills started to come due. The team forgot that 55% of all historically emitted carbon got absorbed by the oceans, not the land, and so underestimated the total amount of carbon by about one half. They overestimated carbon uptake by trees and suggested putting trees where they've never been or where they'd actually make the planet hotter. They didn't take into account that the ecosystems where they wanted to plant trees already sequestered carbon, and so on. We're not talking about small errors here. We're talking about a huge difference in the total amount of carbon you could sequester. So what does this all mean for Tucson? Should we be anti-planting trees? Done smartly, I say no. And more broadly, I would have to agree with the sentiments of Republican representative from Texas, Dan Crenshaw, veteran, who wrote some of the House Republicans' environmental legislation this year when he said it's time to stop offering the American people the false choice of inaction or economy-crushing regulations when it comes to climate change. I'm of the personal opinion, this is me now talking, that you can chew gum and walk at the same time. That planting a million trees and doing other things is not mutually exclusive. We can debate climate change, who impacts it, and how much, but when it comes to the brass tacks of everyday and local decision-making, what's wrong with good stewardship and minimizing impact on the only planet at this point that we got? Here's my concern with the planting of 1 million trees. It's not the only answer, and it's not actually the biggest answer to responding to climate change. When I come back from the break, I want to talk about what actually has the potential to move the needle. We're partway through our segment, our new segment on their show today called The Way I See It. 1 trillion trees, 1 million trees. A surprising backstory to planting trees to attack climate change and why it's a big idea that isn't enough on its own. When I come back from the short break at the bottom of the hour here, I'll tell you about the idea that is big enough to move the needle and why I think that Tucson is responding to the 1 million trees idea the way it is. I think we're afraid that Tucson is going to do what Tucson often does, and that is go with the sprinkle strategies over the ice cream in the cone. When we come back from the break, I'll tell you what science is saying will actually help cities move the needle on emissions and climate. Will we do it in Tucson? That might surprise you. That answer might surprise you. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tipping Point on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
This is a Bloomberg Money Minute. A sour apple is leading the stock averages, a quarter to two-thirds of a percent lower. The Dow down 196, the NASDAQ 22, the S&P 16. Apple blames the coronavirus for its warning that sales won't measure up to analysts' hopes this quarter, due both to disruptions to supply and demand. Stores in China empty or closed, and the factories that are starting up unable to ramp up production quickly. Shares are down more than 2%. Walmart saw a gloomy holiday season with comparable store sales missing their mark, in part because of a shorter holiday shopping season, a warmer than usual winter in some places, and no super hot toys or electronics on everybody's holiday list. Shares, though, are up because Walmart figures things will bounce back this year. The space tourism industry getting a little more real now. SpaceX says it will fly up to 4 paying customers under an agreement that opens the way for space tourism aboard a vehicle built for astronauts, no price specified. Joan Doniger, Bloomberg.
CBS News update. The Boy Scouts of America is seeking protection in bankruptcy court as it faces a wave of sexual abuse lawsuits. CBS's Errol Barnett.
In an email sent out to members, Boy Scout leaders said scouting programs will continue, but they plan to use the Chapter 11 filing to restructure now and compensate victims.
Lawyer Tom Kosnoff helped form a victims group.
They're using the bankruptcy court to hide their dirty secrets and the full extent of the crimes that they allowed to be committed, and they're trying to shield their assets.
The filing lists Boy Scout assets between $1 billion and $10 billion, with liabilities up to $1 billion. New Yorker Ralph Morse alleges abuse when he was a scout a half century ago.
I ended up dropping out of high school. I ended up going down a spiral in a dark place for 25 years. My brother didn't make it. He died at a relatively young age.
CBS News update. I'm Steve Kathan.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
I'm Zach Yenser, host of Tipping Point. We know that one out of every four persons in Tucson is living in poverty. I'm pleased to be partnering with Impact of Southern Arizona, a nonprofit that works to stabilize families and guide and support them on pathways out of poverty. Celebrating their 20th anniversary, they've invested $22 million into the community and are just getting started. Head to impactsoaz.org for more information and to explore how you can get a credit on your state taxes this year by supporting them. As always, talk to your tax professional. Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com.
When you turn on your radio, we know you want to hear real people who are a part of your community.
Hosts who eat and shop at the same local businesses that you do.
We believe in giving you, the listener, a voice in the community.
We love radio.
I'm Greg, and I produce the commercials you hear.
I'm Christopher, and I'm an ad executive.
I'm Elsa. I'm the local business manager.
I'm Bill Buckmaster, and I'm a host. And for all of us, Tucson is our home.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030 The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back into the beautiful 1030 The Voice studios. You're listening to Tipping Point with me, your host, Zach Yenser. And we're partway through my new segment weekly on the show, premiering today, called The Way I See It. 1 trillion trees, 1 million trees is our topic today. The surprising backstory to planting trees to attack climate change, and why it's a big idea that isn't big enough on its own, and the idea that is big enough to move the needle. We started last segment talking about this, about how when the Arizona Daily Star published an article over the weekend about Mayor Regina Romero's plan to plant 1 million trees, my first thought was actually President Trump's State of the Union address, where I was puzzled to hear him state his plan for the U.S. to launch a 1 trillion trees initiative, which he first announced in Davos, Switzerland, the World Economic Forum, and then again at the State of the Union. And then just last Wednesday, the House Republicans unveiled legislation focused on carbon capture and sequestration, which includes the goal of planting 1 trillion trees as a counter to a recently unveiled plan by Democrats. And of course, my fascination that it was Representative Bruce Westerman, a Republican from Arkansas, who introduced in the House the Trillion Trees Act, called trees the ultimate sequestration device. And so whether you are a local Democrat in Tucson that or Republican or any political affiliation, you like or don't like Mayor Regina Romero's plan for 1 million trees, or you have a pro, con, or neutral view on the President and House Republicans' view on planting 1 trillion trees announced as a global initiative. My rabbit hole that I went down was looking at the science of how planting 1 trillion trees probably won't solve anything. We're not going to stop climate change with just seedlings and fancy agriculture. We also need to reduce emissions, quote. And this brings us here in this segment back to Tucson. I ended last segment by saying, am I anti-tree? No, I'm of the mind that you can chew gum and walk at the same time. And I mentioned that I'm actually probably somewhere along the spectrum of Representative Dan Crenshaw's statement, Republican from Texas, who said that it's time we stop offering the American people the false choice of inaction on economy-crushing regulation when it comes to climate change, that it's either all regulation or all inaction. It's somewhere in between. It's probably where I land. But bringing it back to Tucson, to me, it's not about the trees. It's just not the only answer. It's actually not the biggest answer to responding to climate change if we want to be a climate resilient city. Let me get into this. This might surprise you. In cities around the world, the focus is on cutting emissions, as the Wired article said, with policies like supporting biking, cycling, walking, public transit, energy-efficient building codes, investment, and renewable power. If you're a climate and conservation enthusiast, here's the other big idea happening in cities and research halls and academia around the world. Density. A 2014 London School of Economics study showed that a blend of pro-density housing and transit policies could cut emission by a third by 2030. Not 2050, 2030. Through urban densification alone, the U.S. could achieve half the carbon reductions needed to hold global temperatures to a rise of 2 degrees. A 2014 London School of Economics study showed that a blend of pro-density housing and transit policies could cut emission by a third by 2030. Now, this may not be your thing. Climate change may not be something that you wake up and care about in the morning, or very well, maybe. You may not think it's an issue. You may think it's an issue, right? President Trump seems to be in that area of at least throwing out some positive rhetoric about conservation. He seems to be in this middle place of, look, I'm not going to overregulate it. I'm going to roll back regulations, but I'm not going to destroy the earth. I'm somewhere in the middle, right? Conservation, not as much regulation. Government shouldn't be as big a part of this. Wherever you stand, that's okay. The real point of this is to say about Tucson, if it's the goal of this administration in Tucson to make Tucson a climate resilient city, is it a little bit ironic that the real solution to this is actually an appropriate pro-growth, pro-density strategy? More housing, transit corridors, and downtown development. Again, whether you wake up in the morning and you care about climate change or not, maybe you care about the economic case, right? What's interesting is that when you have a density in a community, public services go farther, right? Because the issue for fire, the issue for police, in my mind, is not population, it's geography. And we know that when you create more density, public services go farther. People have to use streets less, and so the streets don't go into disrepair as quickly. You can have more people buying more goods and more services in your community when it's a more dense community. More people means more state shared revenue, which means the pie grows. Isn't it interesting that the real strategy to make Tucson a climate-resilient city is not a million trees. And I get to this in a minute. I don't think that the mayor thinks that it's the only strategy. That would be unfair to say and incorrect. I'll get to that in a minute. That the real strategy to making Tucson the 21st century city of the future is actually an appropriate pro-growth, pro-density strategy. It always fascinates me when I'm at a local level and the folks who are most against, who are driving the Priuses and are the most environmental friendly, are also the most vocal for sprawl and not growing development within city limits. That you can drive the Prius personally, but you're going to send people up 20 miles away up the highway to work and to live and to play. The real point of this is to say this about Tucson. If the voters' decision was to elect decision makers to make decisions on climate resiliency, the sprinkles on the ice cream, to use a quote from my friend, is the 1 million trees. The real solution is a pro-growth, pro-density policy that is more public transit, more dense, more local commerce, more mixed use in the community. We heard from the Planning and Development Services Department last week that Tucson's density is 3 units of housing per acre. Here is par for a city to pay for itself. Here is par, 6 to 8 units. That's not my math. That's not the city's math. That's city math. That we are at 50% of the density we need within the city limits of Tucson to pay for ourselves. Do you wonder why we have to bond out for police, for fire, for roads? It's because we can't pay for our own work to be done. I just think it's fascinating. This is where I wanted to land. That if we're serious about climate change and serious about policy, when I say we, I mean from a city legislative perspective. This was the platform, this was the agenda that was voted in by the voters of Tucson. What I would hope to see is this kind of 21st century vision policy where we're going to increase housing stock, increase density, increase transportation, increase mass transit. That's the solution. And that's science. And I think what strikes so many Tucsonans is that we will believe it when we see it. That Tucson investing in green tech, that Tucson doing all those things that I mentioned, has not been a Tucson thing. We've wanted our cake and to eat it too. We've wanted our best in Tucson, but we haven't wanted it to grow. We've wanted it to sprawl. We don't make the conscious decisions needed to get the results that we want. And that goes all the way up to our city and county leadership. I think that's what this story was all about over the weekend. This sense that 1 million trees is a sprinkle on the ice cream, and that we may never get to the guts of the issue to actually move the needle on the problem. When I look at Mayor Romero's campaign platform, I'm mixed, to be honest. I'm not sure that it reflects a bold vision for a 21st century city that actually accomplishes the goal. Now, I'm not being critical. It's 3 months in. Benefit of the doubt waits to be seen. But I think that's what this struck a chord for in Tucson when this article came out. Let's actually do this, John. Let's go to a quick break. We have a couple callers on the line. We'll go to a short, I think it's a 2-minute break. When we come back, we'll jump to the phone lines. Callers called 790-2040 to be on, to join the conversation. I want to talk more about this to close out our hour when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back to a rapidly moving hour. Always moves rapidly here on Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yen. So you're listening to in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future live here on 1030 The Voice. Just wrapped up our new segment we premiered today called The Way I See It, talking about 1 trillion trees, 1 million trees, the surprising backstory to why our local mayor and Republicans in the House are both getting behind this idea of planting trees to attack climate change. I shared why it's a big idea that isn't big enough on its own, the big idea that is big enough to move the needle. And I think the fear that Tucsonans have that will never take the big enough step to actually make Tucson the 21st century city it could be, and all of its resilience, entrepreneurship, innovation, and sustainability. And that's how I see it. Louis Christensen is on the line. 790-2040 was the number he called. Louis, you are live. Thanks for calling in. Go for it.
Well, first off, I don't know how we get people at in Pima and Tucson leadership to listen to this program. I sure hope they are, because you're just laying all out there right now, Zach. It is fantastic.
Louis, I appreciate you listening.
Definitely huge kudos there. Something that you touched on, and actually Mayor Romero touched on as well, is that to make the million trees thing happen, and yes, I do agree that that's pretty low-hanging fruit and not as bold as she likes to think that it is. She says it straight out. We need a private and public partnership to make that happen. Well, we have obviously the public partnership. City of Tucson saying that we need to do this. We need to strengthen the private sector to help out with this if this is going to happen. I'm standing right in downtown looking at a blank piece of dirt with not a single piece of vegetation on it, because this is what Tucson is. We like leaving things scraped and blank. We need some business-friendly initiatives to allow the city to make those kinds of deals. Hey, we'll let you build. We'll do this, that, and the other with you if you plant this many trees in your parking lot, whatever it may be. So that's what I wanted to say, is that a stronger private sector does not mean just more asphalt, like up in Phoenix. We can make Tucson a green city using growth and other people's money, not just our own tax dollars, to do that. So that's what I want to say. Keep it up. You're killing it. I hope some folks at City Council are listening.
Louis Christensen, I appreciate you calling in. 790-2040. We've got a few minutes left, and you can call in and join the conversation. Yeah, again, if I didn't already say it this segment, and you weren't able to tune in the third segment of this hour, I'm not anti-tree. In fact, I think I repeated it twice, is that I am of the opinion you can chew gum and walk at the same time. I think this zero-sum game view of city and charter issues is just a really minimalized conversation. I think, to Louis's point, it's low-hanging fruit. I think it's ultimately a nice thing to do. But the surprising thing to me that my research is showing, not from the, you know, I think when I say what I'm about to say, a lot of people in Tucson will hear the ghosts of 70s and 80s urban renewal versus neighborhood, pro-growth, no-growth, keep Tucson crappy. We've got a lot of ghosts and demons in our history that I think cloud science and facts. And the science and facts behind this is that a climate resilient city, again, I'm coming from the standpoint that the voters voted that platform in, right? A lot of candidates have taken their campaign page down for whatever reason, and I'm not saying an opinion why. I think it's great. Mayor Romero's campaign platform is still up. You can go and see voteRahinaRomero.com or voteRahinaForMayor.com and see what she was running on and track the progress. I think it's fantastic. At the top of the list was a climate resilient city. The number one item, Working Families Agenda, that was the number one item. The number two tactical policy to do that was 1 million trees. This is a campaign promise in action. I think the irony to this, and a positive irony, again, to Louis' point, is that according to the London School of Economics, according to scientific magazines, by the way, in my opinion, center-right, center-left, I'm referring to two magazines, Wired and Curbed, that are clearly center-left, right? These are magazines that would support climate-resilient cities, and they do, that say, look, this tree stuff is good, but it's the sprinkle on the ice cream. If you want to really make a climate-resilient city, it's ironically an actually pro-growth, pro-density solution, right? It's not leaving the asphalt blank, right? It's the appropriate development of infill in a community, public-private partnership, tying that to green space, tying that to so many other factors that are more sustainable. Are we going to have a pro-growth, pro-density city strategy? History tells us no. History tells us no. And that's the real brass tacks of the story that I wanted to get into, that I think the real climate resilience strategy for Tucson is when the mayor and council get up on bully platforms week in and week out and point to a vision of Tucson as a city where we get our density up from three houses units per acre to 6 to 8, where we can actually start paying for ourselves, where our transportation actually goes where we want it, where it's more multimodal, where there's a diversity of housing stock, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to repeat myself, but if that happens, two things. One, it really moves the needle. That's the needle we've chosen to move. And I just made the case that that was the needle that Tucson wanted to move. And number two, it actually demonstrates that we are going to get the job done. But I thought this was a really interesting story. I'd love to keep getting your thoughts. 790-2040. Again, I started this segment, and we don't have a lot of time left, so I'll just finish on this topic. Is that, again, when I read the article in The Star about Mayor Romero's plan to plant 1 million trees, my mind went to the U.S. stated policy now to plant 1 trillion trees, President Trump's plan. And so whether you are a House Republican committee drafting Republican climate resilience legislation as a response to Democrats last week, or you are Tucson's mayor and council, this planting trees idea has picked up steam. I'm addressing some of the challenges with it. I think it's okay, but it's not what's going to really move the needle. Let's go back to our phone lines. Alan called 790-2040. Alan, thanks for listening and calling in. What's on your mind?
I don't know how long you've lived here, but most of the people that moved out here wanted wide open spaces and wanted to get away from the cities of places where everybody was stacked on top of each other. And the thing with the trees, it'd be nice, yeah, cool, but put it where there's infrastructure. And why do we have to pay for it? It's like the trees in the middle of Campbell Avenue. All it do is make a disaster there.
So, Alan, I agree with you about Campbell. Campbell is a daily disaster waiting to happen. Alan, I appreciate your call. Tucson's a little bit behind on this, but I truly believe this. Tucson is a part of a movement that has been happening since the 90s. It's been slower in Tucson, but people are moving to Phoenix and Tucson now and over the next 10 years. Not for the open space. I truly believe this because it's not an opinion. It's not anecdote. It's statistics and research that since the 90s, people have been intentionally moving away from open space to the density of cities. It's been a little slower in Tucson, but this is the case that I keep making, is this narrative is changing in Tucson, but we're not changing with it. Cities around the country, people are not moving for the open space. That it's still going to happen, but people are moving to cities because they want to trade open space for walkability, amenities, and so on and so forth. Now, I'm not saying that we should force that on anybody. I think it's definitely a generational thing, but as the generation shift in and out, the issues we're talking about is the stuff that people want out of cities. And my fear has been that Tucson hasn't and doesn't want to catch up to that reality. So that's my thought there. Number two, yes, the trees on Campbell, poorly thought out. It's cute, it's pretty, but it's just, I hate driving on Campbell. I'll just be honest. I really don't like driving on Campbell. It's the skinniest roadway that is used by that many people. And it's just an accident waiting to happen. I think, you brought up a philosophical discussion about should we pay for it or not. I think the number I saw was $1 a year. Again, my personal opinion is I'm not anti-planting trees. I don't necessarily have an environmental concern about water usage or cost to the taxpayers. I think green space is good. I think this stuff is important. I think it's the sprinkles on the ice cream. And I don't think that the city of Tucson is going to be committed to the actual real action that is surprisingly pro-growth, pro-density, pro-economic development to actually solve this problem. I don't think the city will take that action strategically, and that's my concern. Well, we're out of time for phone calls, but I'd love to continue this and other conversation offline. You can email me at zyenser, first initial, full last name, at gmail.com. To continue the conversation, and I hope you do. Today's show was sponsored in part by The Talent Store. My friend Devin Underwood has achieved talent retention and attraction results for all sizes of companies in Tucson. Don't wing talent attraction and retention strategy. Lots of big companies moving to Tucson, which means that your small to mid-sized company, if you're listening, you own one, needs to be talent competitive. Email info@yourtalentstore.com for a free 15-minute consultation to get started and be a great brand that hires great people in Tucson. And by the way, my last name again is Yenser, Y-E-N-T-Z-E-R. Zyenser@gmail.com is my email, or you can find me on Facebook, Zach Yenser, my public profile. Message me there. Would love to continue the conversation. Thank you for your calls. Thanks for listening. And this has been the premiere of a new weekly segment called The Way I See It. Bill Buckmaster up at noon, Hugh Hewitt. Before that, Tucson. We'll see you on tomorrow at night. Take care.
Helping. We all do it. To live in a community of hope and compassion. To be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Casino del Sol and the Pascua Yaqui tribe have pledged throughout the years to foster healing and giving to our community we call home. So keep helping for a better life and a better future. We are proud to offer our support, heart and soul. Casino del Sol, the soul of Tucson. An enterprise of the Pascua Yaqui tribe.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.